You're listening to an African Elements top news story for August 1, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the 11th Circuit revived this Black Empowerment lawsuit. On July 29, 2026, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued a major civil rights ruling in African People's Education and Defense Fund, Inc. versus Pinellas County. A three-judge panel reinstated constitutional claims brought by the African People's Education and Defense Fund. The nonprofit organization had filed a federal lawsuit after Pinellas County officials revoked approved federal relief funds. The court found plausible evidence that county leaders acted with racial discrimination and political retaliation. This legal battle reaches far deeper than modern municipal grant allocations. The dispute reflects a multi-decade struggle over Black self-determination in St. Petersburg, Florida. Local leaders stripped funding from an organization serving historically marginalized communities. The appellate court clarified that local governments cannot weaponize public grants against political advocacy groups. In December 1966, a young activist named Joe Waller Jr. took a bold stand inside St. Petersburg City Hall. Waller served as vice chairman of the local Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee chapter. For over 20 years, a large mural titled Picnicking at Passe Grill hung above the main staircase. The artwork depicted Black people as exaggerated, degrading caricatures entertaining white beachgoers. City leaders consistently ignored community demands to remove the offensive painting. Waller took direct action by pulling the canvas down from the municipal wall. He carried the artwork through the city streets alongside cheering supporters. Local police arrested Waller, and state prosecutors charged him with grand larceny. He served 22 months in prison for his act of civil disobedience. Waller fought his conviction all the way to the United States Supreme Court. In the landmark 1970 case Waller v. Florida, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in his favor. The justices decided that state and municipal courts cannot prosecute a person twice for the exact same act. The ruling eliminated the double jeopardy loophole between city and state court systems across the nation. Waller later took the name Omali Yeshitela and continued his community organizing. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee had laid the groundwork for youth direct action and voting rights struggles across the South. That tradition of resistance directly shaped Yeshitela's vision for grassroots Black political power. In 1972, Omali Yeshitela co-founded the African People's Socialist Party and initiated the Uhuru movement. The word Uhuru comes from the Swahili word for freedom. The movement advocated for Pan-African self-determination to address persistent systemic inequality. This ideology asserts that Black communities must build independent political authority and economic infrastructure. To create long-term social programs, Omali and Onazene Yeshitela created the African People's Education and Defense Fund in 1994. APEDF was established as an independent, tax-exempt 501(c)(3) public charity. The nonprofit operates separately from the political advocacy of the party. It addresses long-standing gaps caused by historic disinvestment and struggles against systemic exploitation in Florida neighborhoods. APEDF built vital institutions in South St. Petersburg. In 2016, the organization launched WBPU 96.3 FM, known as Black Power 96 Radio. The community-licensed radio station serves a neighborhood where nearly 70% of families live below federal poverty levels. Roughly half of the households in the coverage area lack in-home internet access. The station provides crucial news, broadcast training, and emergency weather information. APEDF also manages economic initiatives like Uhuru Foods and Pies to foster local commerce. They conduct maternal health programs and doula training to lower infant mortality rates. These projects represent practical applications of self-reliance through local civic initiatives. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Pinellas County received federal funding under the American Rescue Plan Act. County leaders hired an independent agency, the Pinellas Community Foundation, to evaluate nonprofit grant applications. APEDF submitted two capital expenditure applications. The first request sought $36,801 for transmitter and studio equipment for WBPU 96.3 FM. The second request sought roughly $67,327 for an emergency backup generator. Independent reviewers ranked APEDF's applications fourth highest among more than 50 nonprofit applicants. In late 2022, the Pinellas County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved the first grant. However, political pressure quickly mounted. Newly seated County Commissioner Chris Latvala initiated a vote to revoke the approved contract in February 2023. Latvala instructed his staff to search online for background information regarding APEDF's ties to the Uhuru movement. Internal text messages revealed staff members reviewing search entries from the Anti-Defamation League. Latvala publicly characterized the movement as a radical group and questioned funding its radio station. The board subsequently stripped APEDF of its approved funds and denied its second grant. This decision highlighted broader anti-black political dynamics that frequently target independent community organizations. APEDF pointed out that white-led nonprofits received ARPA grants for similar physical equipment, building renovations, and vehicles. County officials funded white-led organizations without raising objections regarding shared facilities or indirect pandemic relief benefits. APEDF filed a federal civil rights lawsuit in October 2023. The nonprofit alleged First Amendment retaliation and 14th Amendment equal protection violations. A federal district court judge initially dismissed the lawsuit at the pleading stage. The lower court questioned whether a nonprofit corporation could possess a racial identity. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed that dismissal on July 29, 2026. Writing for the panel, Circuit Judge Kevin Newsom asserted that government grantmakers cannot penalize organizations based on viewpoint. The court emphasized that while governments have discretion in funding, they cannot exclude groups based on political association. This protection holds firm even when organizations champion controversial black nationalist movements or ideological stances. The appellate panel also clarified rules surrounding corporate standing under the 14th Amendment. The court held that nonprofit corporations can sue for racial discrimination when targeted due to their leadership or clientele. The judges cited race-coded text messages and irregular board procedures as strong evidence of discriminatory intent. The legal battle over radio grants connects directly to the unresolved history of St. Petersburg. The wall inside City Hall where Joe Waller tore down the racist mural remains blank today. In 2017, community groups successfully petitioned the city council to leave the wall bare as a historic site. City leaders later added a bronze historical plaque acknowledging Waller's 1966 civil disobedience. However, historical markers alone do not erase systemic economic disparities. Activists note that genuine reconciliation requires sustained support for independent black institutions. Modern efforts to suppress cultural expression mirror historical attempts to silence grassroots leadership. Through these efforts, community media outlets like WBPU 96.3 FM remain vital to cultural liberation struggles across the African diaspora. The 11th Circuit's ruling remands the case to the Federal District Court for trial proceedings. Pinellas County must now defend its grant revocations under full constitutional scrutiny. The lawsuit guarantees that the history behind municipal grantmaking will be examined in open court. Copyright, African Elements.